السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا مرحبا. ومن هاتي welcome to the program Friday Fusion with me زاكرة أنسلمية. Yes, alhamdulillah, it is a Friday afternoon and that means it's time for us to spend that means it's time for me to spend this time in your company. Today is the 17th of Dhul-Hijjah. Subhanallah, where's the time run away from us? Well, last week Friday this time, we were celebrating Eid al-Adha. And I must say that, in fact, this morning I was just thinking about it, that, you know, last week Friday here in Durban, it was an overcast day. Towards midday, it became really, really windy. But alhamdulillah, most of the things that we were supposed to do, the Udhiyah, the Qurbanis, most of it, went well, despite the weather. Today, alhamdulillah, a much, much better day, you know, in terms of weather. It's absolutely sunny and beautiful, mashallah. So I'm just wondering, where in the world are you listening to us from? I do have reports that, parts of the the globe, like I know, I've heard from some students in Florida, in the USA, they're experiencing a cyclone or Hurricane Irma, as they're titling it. So we ought to be making dua for people all across the globe experiencing different weather conditions. And not only that, but the ummah that is in crisis. And yes, we've been hearing reports of the Burmese people, you know, the Rohingya in particular. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them peace, grants them relief from their difficulty and deliverance from this time of, you know, test and trial and tribulation, inshallah. With me this afternoon is our very own Apa Fahima Patel. Inshallah, this is going to be the start of somewhat of a, you know, partnership on this program, if I can call it that. Well, yes, Apa Fahima will inshallah be joining me on the program from time to time. And we will be discussing various social aspects, as alhamdulillah, Apa Fahima is part of the Muslim Women of Wonder Foundation. So from time to time, we will be discussing those aspects. And other times, like we do here on Friday Fusion, we'll be discussing an array of other topics. But now though, let's welcome Apa Fahima before we go for that first Arabic of the hour. Apa Fahima, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And it's only a pleasure, Apa Zakira, to be have joined with you this afternoon. The weather here in Joburg is truly lovely. It is such a hot day. And believe you me, the only thing that we're missing out here is the lovely sea.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Well, you know what they say, everyone needs a little vitamin C.
Oh yes, definitely. And the
so inshallah, we hope to have you here with us in KZN on our next tour. Yes, for those of you listeners that are wondering what we're speaking about, well, Hafiz Abu Bakr Haydri, including Qari Anwarul Hassan, has been touring parts of KZN starting Wednesday. Yes, Wednesday. Alhamdulillah, they covered Sanga, then they covered for Chipston last night. Today, they were in the Grace Street Masjid for Jumu'ah. For the men folk that did manage to attend Jumu'ah there at the Grace Street Masjid. Also, alhamdulillah, many Radio Islam ulama at various masajid. Mulana Sulaiman Rawat in the Main Street Masjid. So, if you managed to catch any of them, let us know. Where have you been in KZN? It's afternoon, at least for Jumu'ah Salah. And did you manage to catch one of our Radio Islam Ulama there? And if you did, what were your thoughts? And then tonight, inshallah, we have Hafiz Abu Bakr in the Nizamia Hall. So those of you that are familiar with Maritzburg would know the Nizamia School. Well, yes, it's the school hall that you will be able to catch Hafiz Abu Bakr and Qari Anwarul Hassan live tonight, inshallah. From what I understand, from the feedback that I've been receiving, alhamdulillah, the turnouts have been absolutely fabulous, better than has been imagined. And also, Apa Fahima, you know, they've been saying that the crowds, despite the fact that this is like, what, Abu Bakr's third tour, The crowds have just been absolutely awed by Hafiz's concert. And I think, you know, what makes it so beautiful is that every time Hafiz comes, he comes with new tracks and there's a new CD out, and there's just something that's so mesmerizing about the way he reads out these hands and sana. And if you are part of the crowd, like I did notice, you know, the program, there was some really children who got there into the front row and these little girls not, you know, feeling shy or anything like that. They were, like, surprised at that as well. Yes. So, yeah, that's about the tour. Karin Rathasan and Hafiz Abu Bakr. So, if you are in Pietermaritzburg, do come around and join us here tonight, inshallah. So, let's go for our first ad break, inshallah. When we return, we continue.
Gremlins in our line, so I'm hoping we have a much better line this time around. I was telling you there towards the end about the tour of Hafiz Abu Bakr and Qari Anwarul Hassan that is currently underway here in KZN. Hafiz Abu having toured Stanger and Port Shepston last night, tonight in the Nizamia Hall in Pietermaritzburg. So if you're around, please do pop by and do come and meet the team of Radio Islam as well. Often we want to know the faces behind the voices. This is your opportunity to do just that. And yes, I did mention that today I have with me Apa Fahima Patel of Radio Islam International on the program. Apa Fahima has some very interesting things to tell us actually this afternoon. Apa Fahima, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here, Apa Zakira.
Apa Fahima, you know, last week this time it was Eid al-Adha and all of that. And as I said in the beginning in my intro, that, you know, just today I was thinking about, and there were very fond memories of last week this time. Apa, I believe you also have some very exciting memories to share with us. Tell us a little about your day last week.
Yes, definitely, Apa. Last week Friday was a phenomenal day, not just for myself, but for my entire family. And I would like to personally share my experience of performing Qurbani. It was an amazing experience. I personally did the slaughtering of my sheep. And
oh, wow, mashallah.
Yes, I did. And it was an amazing experience. But this all came from the motivation from my husband. He motivated me. He said, you can do it. And I actually didn't have any fear in me. I just don't know why. Maybe because I had connected with my sheep as well. But mm-hmm. also because I have a great love for animals, you know. And I truly enjoy, you know, making sure that any animal is well taken care of. Because we have also many animals at home. But I deeply connected with the sheep that day. And not only I had slaughtered a sheep, my son Mikhail of 14 years old, he also slaughtered his first sheep. It was an amazing experience for him. Also very emotional because, you know what, there was a lot of blood also involved. Mm-hmm. But on my side, it was truly phenomenal just to be with the sheep, to connect with my sheep. And, you know, the atmosphere...
I'm just wondering, you know, yes. Many, many sisters may be listening to this right now and may have also done the same. But here's the thing. You being a mom of young ladies...
Yes.
If I were to ask you, I know the younger ones are generally very excited about it, but like our generation, or I shouldn't say our generation, mashallah, you just showed us that you've done it too. But like, I think it wasn't really a norm in the past. So what actually brought you to just think that, okay, you know what, this year I want things to be different. You know, normally the women folk would just go and you'd stand there while your sheep is being slaughtered and all of that. And yes, alhamdulillah, many of our men folk painstakingly take the time to make arrangements that there's no ghair maharim around and everything is all nicely cordoned off and everything. But I know, I just chicken out at the last moment. So what drove you to this fact that you felt, no, this time you're ready for this and you just went ahead and did it?
I think mainly it's because my husband motivated me. He said to me, come, just do it.
Okay.
And I didn't have that fear, and I didn't pull back or anything. I went forward, and I went and I connected with my sheep. I went down on my knees. I recited the dua that needed to be recited, and the takbir that needed to be recited. And my sheep was calm, and we closed its eyes, and I took the knife, and the slaughtering happened. And
oh, mashallah, mashallah.
Yes, and you know, with all of this, you calm your sheep down. You are calm as well. You cannot be afraid.
And what was the environment like around you?
The environment was very, very calm and content. You know, nobody was...
Your children were probably all around.
Yes, definitely they were all around, because for them, it's something new to see a lady, you know, slaughtering a sheep. And especially for the men around, they would say, wow, you know, wow, there's a lady here doing slaughtering today. Oh. And my entire family was just over the moon to see their mom slaughtering on an evening.
Mashallah, mashallah. Well, yes, those are fond memories of Eid al-Adha last week. And, well, before we know it, the Hujjaj are already returning. I know our very own Apamara was speaking about her parents returning, and she was very excited. And I know there's many of us who will have Hujjaj returning. Apapaima, your thoughts on, you know, what it feels like when you have a family member return from Hajj?
Well, the feeling is definitely, you know, out of this world, because you're leaving a beloved place. You're leaving something that you really love.
Mm-hmm.
And you're all coming back home. Your heart is filled with love and emotion. You are drowning in tears, and you're coming back home. You're leaving something, you know, very great back. But also at the same time, you're definitely looking forward to seeing your entire family that you haven't seen for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And You know, and this is what Hujjaj want to come back and share with the entire family and their communities, and everybody just missed each other for a very long time. And, you know, I was reading Ashraf Garda's post, and I was actually following him quite a bit on Facebook while he was on his Hajj for the past 6 weeks.
Right.
And on the last days and of his Hajj, he said that he'd like to share his post with the entire you know, Muslim world, and I'd like to read this out. He says that, "This day I have completed my Hajj for you. This day I have reaffirmed the tenets of my Islamic faith for you. This day I have renewed in my vigor to adopt the social justice leadership lessons shown by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. This day do I commit to using the building blocks of Hajj to help build a champion South Africa. Therefore, on this day, grant me and my family and all the Hujjaj all an accepted Hajj." Also meaning that he's returning back home to say hello to new openings to connect with Allah. So it is a new life. He feels as if he's a newborn baby. And it's an entirely new chapter for the Hujjaj. A new life, you know. And that is what they want to share with all their family and friends when they return back home.
Definitely, definitely. I think perhaps one of the most important things is that, you know, once you completed with your Hajj, you remind yourself that this was not just a pillar of deen that you have now completed, but it's actually something that many save a lifetime for, something that many would, you know, wait for the opportune moment to go. So once you've completed it, it's as though you're now turning a new leaf, you know. And therefore, it's mentioned in the hadith, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "When you meet the haji, one is now returning and coming back home, then greet him, shake his hand, and also ask him to seek forgiveness for you, on behalf of you, even before he enters his home, because his dua for forgiveness on your behalf is accepted." And subhanAllah, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once made dua, and he said, "Allahumma ghfir lil hajj wa liman istaghfara lahu al hajj." Oh Allah, forgive the haji, but not only him, forgive whoever he seeks forgiveness for. So, you know, Prima, it's like so beautiful when we look at this, because we realize then that all these exciting, you know, welcome home, little meals that we make up and all these things, it's actually not all in vain if we do it with the correct intention. But, oh Allah, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that this person is a really special person. So I am doing this in hope that, you know, his forgiveness has been made, his hajj has been accepted, and that when he seeks forgiveness on my behalf, and for 40 days thereafter they say this person's du'as are accepted, so when he makes du'a for me, that you accept this for me. And yes, even a du'a was specifically taught to us. Abdullah ibn Umar reports that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this du'a for the returning haji, and he said, قَبِلَ اللَّهَ حَجَّكَ وَغَفَرَ ذَنْبَكَ وَأَخْلَفَ نَفَقَتَكَ. May Allah accept your hajj. May Allah forgive your sins. And may Allah give you a replacement of whatever wealth you have spent in your journey of hajj. Subhanallah. Isn't that so beautiful?
It's really wonderful, Apa Zakira. And you know, our listeners, whoever, if you know anybody that has been on hajj and has returned back home, you know, bearing in mind in what Apa Zakira has said, that we should take full advantage of going to visit the Hujjaj and going out of our way to meet and, you know, just to even request their du'as. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to take that plate of biscuits with, but just to go and meet and greet and just to hug, and believe you me, you will feel that entire nur fall upon you.
Mm. And I think, you know, what definitely happens is that when we're going to meet this Hujjaj, right, what we generally feel is that, wow, they've come back from Makkah and they've come back from Medina. And subhanAllah, this is even what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. He said, they are wafdullah. They are a delegation that have returned to you from Allah. Therefore, we need to treat them so specially, you know, and we need to go, and exactly what Apa Fahima is saying, you know, take from them this nur that they've brought from the blessed lands, request their du'as, have that little bit of zamzam and dates, and, you know, not necessarily spend a lot of time there and now make them speak about all the things that went wrong in the hajj and, you know, have that. No, not necessarily all those things, because at the end of the day, no matter what happened in their journey of hajj, the Khadim al-Haramayn al-Sharifayn, those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept and given them this job of taking care of the Haramayn Sharifayn, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran that if Allah wants, at any point in time, not only with regards to them, but anyone, if Allah wants to change a nation, then it is so easy upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the fact that they are there and doing this job and this duty and this responsibility, it is actually something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for them. So even though sometimes we may not have the most pleasant of experiences whilst we are on our hajj or on the journey of Umrah for that matter, when we come back, let's try and always bring back all the positive with us and just leave behind the negative and just let whatever happened, just let it be, you know, and let go. You know, so definitely this is about the returning hujjaj, about how we should go ahead and we should meet them. And on that note, I think also speaking in particular about the Hujjaj that have come back. Oh, Haji, you who have come back now after performing your Hajj, there are certain rights and responsibilities on you as a person in particular. You are now not just any ordinary community member, but now you have come back with such a responsibility on your shoulders that people are going to look at you. And Apa Fahima, I don't know if this was maybe in the community that you grew up in, but I know when I was little, it was always looked upon like this, that, you know, you if you wanted to see piety, then you looked at perhaps the alim of the area, the sheikh of the area, and also you looked at the haji of the area. Those people that had performed the hajj, you looked at them almost as your benchmark of deen, because you felt, this was the thought process at that time, that a haji, if he is gone for his hajj, then he has sort of completed and perfected his iman. So his amal is supposed to be on a level, like he's supposed to be performing his five daily salah. He's not supposed to be one that sways or lies or, you know, does people down in his business and these types of things. He's not, if it's a lady, she's supposed to be dressing according to deen, you know, these type of things. Was it the same in the time that you grew up, Papa Ima? Did you also grow up with these same kind of tendencies and principles?
Gee, definitely, Appa. You know, the Hujjaj is so such an important person in a community. And if anybody, if a community had to look up, it would be definitely the Imam, the local Imam or the Hujjaj. Mm-hmm. And normally we wouldn't even address the Hujjaj by the first name. It would be Haji so-and-so or Haji so-and-so. So, you know, the status of the Haji has been elevated in the community. And, you know, people look up to the, to a Haji.
Definitely. And I think even, you know, especially here in South Africa, with the whole quota system and all of that, the whole process that this person had to undergo to actually go for the Hajj, besides the whole saving up for a long time and all of that, the whole process that you have to go through is quite a rigorous process. So subhanAllah, if you've been given that opportunity to actually go for your Hajj, then you're now a special person. Honor that title that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you of Haji. Hold that title up and try and lead your life. Now, obviously, we're all not perfect, and at times you're going to slip up and you're going to make that sin. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ghafoorur Rahim, and He will definitely forgive if we make tawbah, but we've got to try. We've got to put in that extra effort to try and be different in the community, to try and change and show that, you know what, I have completed my Hajj. This was some very extra special ritual to me of my deen. And now that I've completed it, I want to make this difference in my life. I want to show that I have turned over a new leaf. I want to let it be displayed that I am a Hajj. Not that we do things for show, but to sanctify and to give the due respect to this journey that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me and honored me with. Your closing thoughts on this, Appa Fahima?
Well, definitely, Appa Sakira, I think that, you know, with every community, there is a Haji in the community. But what's very important is that the community should realize that, look, here is a Haji, and we should look up to the Hujjaj. Also, there are many lessons that we can learn from the Haji, and this should allow us and motivate us to become also better Muslims and also to start saving for that Hajj, you know?
Definitely. And I think perhaps, Appa Fahima, what happens is that when you are younger, don't we normally just have these feelings that, oh, you know what, I'm not yet ready for my Hajj. When I get older, I'll go and, you know, these kind of things. But subhanAllah, are we even guaranteed life? No, definitely not. We aren't even guaranteed life. So why would we want to say that when I get older or when, you know, when this happens or when I start performing my salah or when... No, since none of us are guaranteed life, start saving up for your Hajj now. Start making a concerted effort to go for your Hajj in whichever way you can. You know, write your name down. And Appa Fahima, I'm sure you also know of stories like this, that people have said, you know, their name came up to go for Hajj, and they knew that they didn't have enough funds, or at least they were of the opinion, and they thought that, you know what, I don't have enough funds, I'm not going to make it. And then within a period of a few months, like maybe 4 or 5 months, some of them say, somehow or the other, just because they had made the intention and they had written their names and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen them and their names had come up, somehow or the other, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered their du'as and He made it possible to have their full monies and they were able to go for Hajj without them even knowing where that money came from.
Gee, 100%, Appa Zakira, this is really true what you are saying, and you don't know where the money is coming from, and suddenly Allah just opens all the avenues, all the doors, and there you go. Your money is paid up, you're ready to go. You know, Allah makes things possible. If your name is there, and if Allah wants you there, you will be going.
Definitely. All right, Abu Fahima, let's leave it as on that note, inshallah. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the Hajj of all the Hujjaj, inshallah, and that He grants us all the opportunity to go back and visit the holy land of Makkatul Mukarrama and Madinatul Munawwara and Masjidul Aqsa very, very soon, inshallah. May we all be accepted to be the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very, very soon, inshallah. Okay, my dear listeners, let's go for that last ad break of the hour. When we return, inshallah, Abba Fahima and I will be back keeping you company. Yes, indeed, this is Friday Fusion. But it's not just Zakira and Samia behind the microphone today. It's Abba Fahima Patel as well. And Abba Fahima has been keeping us company from 2 p.m., alhamdulillah. We went through a little bit of an intro, and I told you that Qari Anwarul Hassan and Hafiz Abu Bakr Haydari are here in KZN doing the KZN leg of the Ishq-e Nabi tour. And alhamdulillah, if we didn't managed to catch them in Stanger on Wednesday evening or in Port Shepston yesterday or last night rather, then you still have a few chances for those of you here in the KZN region. Tonight they will be in Pietermaritzburg in the Nizamia Hall. Tomorrow they will be, on Tuesday they will be at Islamic Guidance. So for Central Durban people, that's where you can see them. And then on Monday night, they will be at the Alimia Masjid in Phoenix. So many other opportunities for you here in KZN to catch up with Qari Anwarul Hassan and Hafiz Abu Bakr, as well as put a face to the voice of many of our presenters, the likes of Mulana Sulaiman Rawat, Mufti Yusuf Musaji, Mulana Habib Babat. They've all, with Qari Anwarul Hassan and Hafiz Abu Bakr, they've joined in on the tour, and so you will get to see them as well. Alright, let's move on then. Abba Fahima and I were speaking about the Hujjaj and the returning of the Hujjaj, the du'as we are meant to be reading when we meet them, what we are meant to be asking of them when we meet them. And we also spoke a little bit about what the place of a Haji is in the communities that we live in, and you know, how exactly a Haji is looked up to. And alhamdulillah, Abba Fahima also gave us some of her insights. That was all before the ad break. Right now, though, we're going to be speaking about something a little bit different. As I told you in the intro, Abba Fahima does a lot of social work. And so there is a book day coming up. And Abba Fahima wanted to speak to us about this for a little while now. And unfortunately, we just haven't been getting the chance. But I think you've read about it on social media. So without much more of explanation, I'm going to hand this over to Abba Fahima, and she's going to tell us a little bit more about this event and how it came about, and you know, what you can do in your part, the part that you can play in making this event a success, inshallah. Abba Fahima?
With regards to the campaign is called 10,000 Book Campaign, and this campaign was launched just after Ramadan, and because it's also in the month of International Literacy Awareness Month. The month of September is International Literacy Month Awareness. Yes. Okay. And I said for the year of 2017, this is one of the projects that I have to embark on, because I found that 80% of grade 5 learners
mm-hmm.
lack the basic reading skills, which is very, very, very frightening. And mm-hmm. this is all in public schools and underprivileged schools. And I then embarked on a 10,000 book campaign, and the book campaign has went off so far very, very well. The books are coming in. We've got donors as far as the USA that is bringing in a container of books for us.
Mashallah.
And we've got people in the entire country that is sending us books, and we're not even collecting them, Abba Zakira. They're yes. actually couriering the books as far as Cape Town and Durban.
Mm-hmm.
And with this, the campaign is aimed at opening not only collecting books, but we've yes. identified almost 10 schools in underprivileged mm-hmm. communities, and if we reach our target of 10,000 books, we will then reach 10 schools, right? But we're not only doing the handover of books as well. We are going to open up a formal library, okay? Mm-hmm. And which will then benefit the entire school. So we will do the handover and the launch on the 10th of October.
Mm-hmm.
And we have various guests coming on board, guests as far as the United Nations Department of Education, principals, HODs, parents, okay, as well. And this is such a big thing because in the community there's just no libraries for children to do their homework, to pick up a book and read, to perhaps do their homework or do research on certain projects that they need to do.
Definitely.
And it definitely makes a child's life very difficult. So this is where this entire project comes in. And inshallah, it will definitely be a success. If we do collect the 10,000 books, inshallah, we will try, and then by the end of the year, by 2017, we will open up the 10 libraries. But for now, we just focus on the one school, and as soon as the rest of the books come in, and then it will be filtered into the other schools as well.
You know, just on that note, I'm listening to you and I'm just thinking to myself, alhamdulillah, myself, I happen to work with SANSAF a lot, and I'm more in the, you know, intermediate phase or in the tertiary phase also of, I deal with those types of students. But one thing that stands out for me, and I'm not sure if I'm generalizing when I say this or if this really is such, that children today, or youngsters today, youth today, have given up this practice of reading. They don't feel the need to want to read anymore. Like when I speak to my students, and I know, and I'm a real bookworm, so, you know, often when we speak and they tell me, or we speak about what we're going to do for the holiday, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get into a book, because, you know, alhamdulillah, life is busy, but at the same time, you don't get to do light reading on the side. Yes, things that you have to read, you read, but light reading on the side, reading that you do, just, you know, when you're chilled, when you're more relaxed, it doesn't get done unless you have a little bit of time off. So alhamdulillah, when we do get time off, this is something that I enjoy doing. A good book is always something that I enjoy. And they're like, Appa, no, you can't be serious. You read? Like, you know, like it's some weird thing or something like that. Do you find the same thing amongst youngsters, Appa Fema, or is this just a trend that I've come across?
No, definitely, Appa. This is definitely happening in all over. Kids just don't love reading anymore because of the cell phone and everything that is just digital. That has taken over. And the thing is, this is where we come in, and we encourage and we motivate kids as well.
Yes.
You know, for a teacher, it is very tedious because she cannot go back and still teach a child to read. You understand, Afa? This is something that we as community people, that is why we have International Literacy Awareness Month, and to make the communities aware of the importance of reading, you know.
Absolutely.
And also there is the advantage of digital and social media, you know. There is the advantages, and if you feel that you can rather do reading online, then it's fine. But if you're going to use it for the incorrect
purposes,
then it's not going to work for you. Then we need to encourage you more with the reading, because then you wouldn't know how to even surf on the internet. And I definitely, in my home, I do encourage reading. It is very important for me, because we cannot have leaders if we don't have any readers. We cannot have doctors. We cannot have lawyers. The economy is going to go down the drain if we do not have readers. So we need to encourage reading from a very, very young age.
I actually like that very much. We won't have leaders if we don't have readers. Lovely, subhanAllah. And you know, on that point that you mentioned there, Papa, that you encourage reading in your home, that's exactly why I love reading. My father was someone that loved reading, and one of the, we had like this namaz area in our home, you know, where we'd pray salah and all of that, and one of the walls of that room was covered with bookshelves from ceiling to floor. And every type of book that you could think of, whether it was Islamic books, whether it was, you know, light reading, whatever it was. There was a book there. And I think just as a child growing up in a home like that, nobody told you to read, but because you saw all these books, somehow you got interested and you were like, okay, let's go and see what this is all about. And that is how I became hooked on reading.
Yes.
And now it's like one of the things that I do, as I said before, I do it as, you know, as a source of comfort, as a source of, you know, it brings great happiness and joy to me to just be able to sit down and read. It's almost like, you know, eating a tasty meal. It's almost like that for me. You know, if I can sit down with a good book, it's something so exciting for me.
Yes, and what is amazing is, Appa, your dad had created that environment for you, and you grew up in that environment, you understand? And that is something that we need to create for the larger community. We need to create that awareness and environment for kids to grow up with reading. You know, moms also need to get involved. You need to make sure your child opens up that book. Your child does get a reader at school every day. Make sure at least one page of reading every day if your child really does not like reading. And you know, sometimes you need to also read towards your, you know, to your child. And this, if your child doesn't like reading, it will then create the love for him to listen and then read on his own.
Definitely. And perhaps with the younger ones, you know, I don't know how it works with parents of today, but perhaps with the younger ones, you know, even for when they're like really small and we're getting them to settle down, you know, they're all jumpy and they're all hyper and you want to get them to just settle down and calm down a little bit, wouldn't it be a nice thing to perhaps have a little reading corner in your home with
definitely.
Some, you know, overstuffed chairs and just get them to like recline and then read them a nice story? And it doesn't have to be anything fictional. You could even then read them stories of the prophets, because let me tell you, some children love hearing, you know, the story of how Yunus alayhi salam got swallowed by the whale and how Yusuf alayhi salam was sent to prison. I remember, as you know, I'm the youngest of all my sisters, so all my nieces and nephews like grew up in our home, and I remember I read to them and I used to read to them all these stories and they loved it. And subhanAllah, that's twofold benefit. Not only are you reading to a child and calming them and, you know, keeping them occupied, but at the same time you're increasing their knowledge. So subhanAllah, I think it's all about how we implement this whole reading. And you know, on that note, Appa Fahima, just not very long ago, I was telling the story of Khawla radiallahu anha, Sahabiya, to my students at Madrasa. And as I said, they're high school students. And they were so impressed. And I smiled and I said, you know, you girls tell me you don't like reading, but I can promise you, if I give you a book on the Sahabiyat, you will love it. You will love it. You will read it not only, you know, finding it interesting, but at the same time, you may just find that you have a new passion, a passion for reading. So it all depends on you as a parent, on you as a caregiver, on you as a teacher, what exactly you are promoting in terms of reading to children. It doesn't have to be boring. It doesn't have to be tedious.
No, definitely, Appa. You know, not so long ago in one of our meetings, Mulana Sulaiman Rawat said to us, and yet we are all adults, you know, and he encouraged us. He says that in the Quran it says that, Iqra, read in the name of thy Lord. And he encourages us. He said to us that it is stated in the Quran that we should encourage reading. And reading, we should as adults read and then pass it down to our families as well.
Definitely. Your closing thoughts, inshallah, Appa.
Shukran, Appa. You know, this is a very important awareness campaign. I would like to request from the listeners that if you do have a book out there, please contact me and Shukran. It will definitely go into the right place. Your contribution will definitely go a long way.
Definitely, inshallah. Appa Fahima, as I said in the beginning of the program, this is going to be something that we're going to be doing more often, where you're going to be joining me in studio on your side, and I'm going to be in studio on my side, and we're going to be having these studio link-ups, if we could call it that. So inshallah, I'm really looking forward to this. I really enjoyed this afternoon's discussion. Until we meet again next week, with lots of love from me, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.